Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello, I'm back, and not over a dial-up modem.
I was going to say, I can actually see you, and you don't sound all crunchy, and yeah, this is wonderful.
yeah, I don't normally sound like I'm in a Pringles can currently being eaten by a giant person. No, I'm back. A week of internet awesome calling tech support and saying, I swear I have an issue. I'm not crazy. Please tell me I'm not crazy. Eventually, I did think I was crazy.
A little bit crazy, but not for internet reasons.
Yeah, no, for sure. I wanted a dentist's degree. Like, definitely a little crazy. But I feel like we're good. Knock on wood. We're good. Everything's solid. Upload through the roof. Let's do this. Let's talk about games.
Just as you said that, your video started to stop and get all stuttery.
Don't do that.
It was actually really well timed. But so thank you guys so much for joining us. We are recording live. It is Thursday, November 24th. So just wanted to say a very quick hello to all the Americans in the chat room and a very, very, very very Thanksgiving to you guys.
Yes.
A very, very, very happy Thanksgiving to you guys, all of our friends south of the border. Yeah. We appreciate you being here and watching us live. We are going to jump right into it because we have a lot to cover tonight. We are going to roll our normal episode into our patron hangout. So again, we thank everybody who is here to hang out with us on obviously a day that is normally, you know, reserved for some family time. So, you know, we like that we're part of your family. So lots of internet hugs from us to you. We are going to do that as our topic of the week this week. So make sure if you want to talk to us, for some reason, Ryan is flashing me with a Yoshi.
I don't know.
It's
Caden's amiibo. I always give it to him. But yeah, it's awesome. Oh. It's Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving. East Coast is like now watching football. West Coast is waiting for their turkey to cook. I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So yeah, we do have a lot to cover. We're going to do our patron hangout as part of our topic of the week this week. So stick with us. Make sure that you are in Discord. If you don't know what the Discord is, please go to patreon.com/thegamersin and make sure that you get yourself all hooked up and ready. We'll probably be taking calls in about half an hour or so. Mm-hmm. Right now, we are going to talk about everything that we have been playing, which for the first time in a long time is a whole hell of a lot, Ryan. I don't know about you, but I have been playing a lot of things outside of my normal Blizzard titles.
Interesting. I have been playing a lot of one game, so not World of Warcraft.
That's good. and it's a game that I'm looking forward to hearing a lot about. But first, I'm going to give you guys an update on my Dishonored 2 adventures. So I did figure out what the problem is, finally. Although I did plug it in, so I'm not sure if there was some sort of like firmware update. But it did say that the last update was back in August. So I don't think that there was anything potentially for my controller. But in Dishonored, it defaulted to the most ridiculous controls I have ever seen. It defaulted to a sensitivity of 15 out of 100. So basically, I was pushing my controls and like nothing was happening because the sensitivity was set so low. So I set my sensitivity up to, I think, like 65 or something, and everything is totally fine now. So yeah, I had to tweak those settings a little bit, but once I did, it felt a whole lot better. Although I am still like hot shit at this game.
Well, I think it's primarily supposed to be played as a stealth game, and that's probably why, unless you are playing as a stealth game. And I have to say, before it sounds like a judgment, I am terrible at stealth games. More on that later. But with Dishonored 2, I feel like, from what I remember from the first one, very primarily stealth, and there was some discussions going on in the Discord. I think Drowfear remembered the first game better than I did. And yeah, I feel like there's probably a reason they set that sensitivity so low. Like, but if you're used to playing it as an action game, I feel like sooner or later that sensitivity being higher is going to come in handy for you.
I felt like I couldn't even look around, you know, because like I would have to push the stick so far and then wait to make my head move. And then because my stick was pushed so far, my head would be like, whoosh, all the way across the screen. And I was like, well, everything between point A and point B was a giant blur, and you just showed me 180 degrees. So that's not really helpful. So yeah, once I adjusted the sensitivity, it was a lot easier. But I'm really, 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 really bad. Really bad.
Have you experienced more of the story, or...
Yeah, so I'm on the second chapter. I ended up just totally giving up on the section that I was kind of stuck on. I did realize that there were, I guess I've probably been spoiled by stuff like Tomb Raider with like Tomb Raider vision that will tell you stuff you can grab and, you know.
Yeah.
Because there was actually a way like kind of up a wall, and then I was like, I had to crouch, but then I was behind cover for the majority of a street. And that's how you had to get around these like 15 dudes, because I kept like getting discovered. And once you're discovered, oh my God, it's so punishing. You can take like 3 to 4 hits from bad guys, and they all have guns, and they have like, there's like I said, like 10 to 15 of them. Like, it's just as soon, you're pretty much dead as soon as you're discovered. Unless you can, you know, very stealthily go around. It's actually very much like Batman in that way, like the Arkham games, where, you know, if you can stealthily take them out one at a time, then you're going to have a much better time than if they just know where you are and converge on you. So I'm just really, really bad at it. I'm bad at the combat, and so I tried to stick to stealth. And right now I'm still, like I said, I'm only in the second chapter of the game, though I've played about 5 hours, which kind of gives you an idea of how terrible I am and how little I've progressed. So
you're so hard on yourself. Are you having fun? Dude. Like, I can't tell.
I ended up giving it up to go and do a little bit of Warcraft, which I feel like is a game that is a lot less punishing, and sure. I know it pretty well, so I was just like, I need to feel good about myself again, so I'm gonna go play some Warcraft. But I like the world, and it's an interesting story, and I want to know the story that they're trying to tell me, but I'm just like, it's literally just as soon as you go and pull any kind of aggro, it just sets you right back, because you just get totally overwhelmed. They just seem to come from absolutely everywhere, because they're, you know, like sounding alarms and calling for help. And, you know, it's basically impossible once you actually get discovered, especially early on, because like I literally have a pistol, a couple of crossbow ammos, which I have like 2 sleep darts and like 5 actual crossbow arrows. I also tried to play a little bit more, like, because after I played through the first one, like I was saying, I was there's like a street that you have to get by in order to get to a harbor.
Right.
And I got about halfway through the street, and I just kept getting reset over and over and over and over and over, because I couldn't make it past this one section. So finally I was like, got reset again. I got by like 4 or 5 dudes, and then I was just like, somebody saw me, and I was just like, that's it. I just like sprinted the whole rest of the level, which was like half the level. I just like sprinted and then like jumped into the water and swam under the boat, and then got on the boat and was like, yes, go, take me, go.
drive.
Exactly. And so I didn't get, like, because it gives you a score sheet at the end of the level, right. And I had like high chaos. I had like low, I only found like 200 of like 1400 gold. Like, I just did so badly.
This is the thing. This is what I remember from the first one, is that you had to be very slow and methodical and sort of like just take it bit by bit, killing guys, taking them out. I played the stealth non-lethal route, so I would, you know, kind of, you know, put them
choke
to sleep.
Them out.
Yeah.
Choke them out.
And then, I don't know why I didn't want to say that. It just sounded weird. And then, like, kind of pull them into the corner and then hide their bodies, right? And I don't know, like, do you feel like you're going maybe too quick? Or do you feel like the game is... Because I remember the game being punishing. You're right, you described it perfectly. Like, when you make a mistake, someone catches you. If you don't, like, shut that down... they will alert all the guards and bring in reinforcements and just make your life a general hell. And that's the thing,
because like I feel like the way to shut them down is to shoot them with my pistol. But then the sound of a pistol going off brings even more of them, because I'm not good enough at the sword fighting to like instantly shut anyone down the way that, you know, I probably should. Because I think if you like block, they kind of like get a little bit stunned, and then you can like, I don't know, swing twice real fast or something, and you could possibly get like an instant assassination sort of a thing. Right. But I am not coordinated enough to do that. I am trying to take the stealth route, because I'm trying to, you know, like, I guess get the better ending, or get the not as dark ending, assuming I ever make it to the ending. But one way or another, I'm trying to be a little bit more just stealthy in my gameplay in the second one, because I was also trying to, you know, explore a little bit more in the second chapter, because I realized there are so many things to collect and there's so many things to do, and I shouldn't be kind of rushing through, I guess. Like, I should be exploring, because I also didn't realize I can do things like break windows and get into houses, and, you know, like, I thought it was a very linear path, and it's not. So, you know, like, once I kind of learned that there are walls I can climb and things I can grab, along with like windows and doors I can break to open up new pathways, then I feel like the gameplay got a little bit easier. And I did like a sneaky through a building pathway in the second chapter, and then ended up having to do a side quest, because basically the side quest makes the part that you, like, makes your destination easier to get to, because basically, like, you do a side quest and then she's like, oh, okay, well, let me help you now. And she basically opens up like a secret underground railroad type way of getting you to where you need to go. So it's, you know, like, doing the side quest made things a lot easier. But man, it takes me at least a very, 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 very long time. And I find it extraordinarily frustrating when I try to go the way that I think the game wants me to go. Like, if you just try to go towards the main objective, I feel like it's impossible. And I get really frustrated really fast. And then so, you know, like, because they have the objective marker on the map, right? And it says, like, you are 30 meters from your objective. Well, if you try to just go from where you are to that 30 meters, like, you're just going to die. Mm-hmm. And so, because, I mean, you're talking about, like, you have to go through narrow alleyways that are full of guards with, like, no way to actually, you know, hide, versus, like, actually having to go all the way around and all through all these different buildings, everything else. So I think I need to be a little bit more, I need to think a little bit more about my pathways, maybe, and the, you know, stuff that I think is the obvious way to go is probably the wrong way to go, and the super punishing way to go. But it's a learning process. It's a challenging game. And right now I'm really underpowered, because, like I said, I have one power, which is like my teleport kind of a power. And I have my sword, basically, and my pistol. But they say if you ever use the pistol, you're going to basically bring all the guards down on you. So I don't use the pistol.
I feel like when I remember playing that game, it took a couple chapters to kind of get the groove of the game. Mm-hmm. And that groove is basically you're presented with what appears to be a linear objective, but an open, a small portion of an open world where, I guess it wouldn't be called an open environment that you can then explore and take advantage of to make your objective easier. Or you can rush right in and just bang your head against the wall, or try to move through that process very rigidly. And I do remember, and that's where like the high chaos comes in, where if you do kill a lot of guards, that direct approach will cause the high chaos. And high chaos, I think, I don't know if it necessarily means the bad ending, but it's definitely the ending that, yo, there's a lot of rats around here.
I was gonna say, yeah, the tooltips, I guess, said that if you have a high chaos manner of playing, you will get the darker ending.
Oh, okay. So maybe
I don't know if that's a new addition in two, or if they just mean like there's going to be more like blood flies and rats and you know, abandoned buildings and stuff like that.
Yeah. Do you feel like maybe, because I know you like to play a lot of your games on PC, do you feel like you maybe would have been more at home playing with a keyboard and mouse, or would you have played this with a controller no matter what?
Well, when I played Bioshock, which this is very kind of similar to Bioshock, although I feel like I was more powerful in Bioshock and didn't have to stealth as much, or at least if I, you know, managed to pull enemies, I could still take on two or three at a time, whereas I find if I get two guards or more, I'm just dead and there's no real point in even trying combat. Which I know that, you know, Bioshock is a shooter versus this is a stealth game, but still, same sort of like first person, you know, you have powers in one hand and a gun in the other or whatever. So I feel like it's a very similar sort of a thing. Mm-hmm. And Bioshock pulled me in a lot more than this one has, but I played them both on console. So okay. I really don't know. But yeah, like I said, the world is really cool and I love the art style. And as I'm learning more about it, then, you know, it's getting a little bit easier. But it's, at least for me, it was a really steep learning curve. But it's a super cool game. I really, really like it. And there seems to be a lot of interesting characters, and there's a lot of like books and stuff lying around and a lot of clues. And I think that's the other thing too, is I was getting so frustrated with the stealth and with the combat when I failed at the stealth that then I wasn't reading enough of the books and stuff, because like I came across a safe and I was like, oh man, now I have to go look for the combination. And then like, I looked in my like notes and it was like, so-and-so has mentioned these things, and then these things correspond to these numbers. I wonder what that could mean, Jocelyn. And it's like I'd already picked up all the information I needed to open the safe, but I hadn't even bothered to read any of the stuff I was picking up. I was just like, oh, this is glowing. All right, pick it up. You know, I got to keep going because I'm getting frustrated because this is hour number 5 and I'm on chapter number 2. Like, so I think I need to give it more time, and I need to get better or change the difficulty level. I'm not even playing on, I'm playing on normal. Like, I'm not playing on anything that should be punishing, but I think maybe to get myself more into it, I should lower the difficulty level just so then I can, you know, have a chance to learn and to actually pay attention to the lore, because then I won't be as frustrated.
Yeah. There's no harm in turning it down. Like, these days, very busy, a lot of games to play. I feel like lowering the difficulty to a point where you're comfortable playing the game, there's no harm in that, especially because I think the biggest deterrent for me when setting difficulties, and I don't do this much anymore, was achievements. You know, like, oh, you get an achievement for beating it on hard, but that stuff doesn't normally bother me anymore. I used to be an achievement hoarder, right? But now it's just like, I don't care. Let's just play the game and enjoy it. So, and also, Dishonored 2 has that split, like, branching path, right? So if you went and played it on easy on your current path, and then really enjoyed it and wanted to go back and play it on normal or even hard as the as Corvo or something, that's something you could do as well.
Well, and that's the other thing too, is you can play, but you have the choice between two different characters. So you can play as Emily, who I'm playing as, or you can play as Corvo, who is her father and who was the hero from the first game. So I think there's a replayability, because there's going to be different dialogue and different interactions with characters when you're playing as someone who is known to them versus someone who is relatively new. Like, she's very much treated like, I mean, she's the Empress, but no one really knows her. And a lot of the people she interacts with are people from her father's past. So they're saying, oh, I remember your father. He used to do X, Y, and Z, or he used to say blah, 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 blah. And it's very much like a reminiscent sort of a thing of, you know, informing her who her father was. Mm-hmm. And then, but there isn't a whole lot of interaction. Like, there's no real friendliness. There's no like, oh, remember the time back at the bar, whatever. Like, so I find it's probably, there's going to be a lot of different story pieces playing through a second time for sure. I think it's going to be replayable. I just need to get through it the first time, the first part.
Yeah, I'm interested, because, again, I really... It was one of those games I fell into where people were saying, oh, Dishonored, it's really great, you gotta play it. And I'm like, yeah, but is it really that great? It kind of looks silly. Like, it looks a little... The art style, it's... When you play it, it clicks, you get it. But when you just kind of take a quick glance at it, it's like, I don't know, I have a sword and I stab guys and it looks kind of cartoony, but it's not cartoony. There's a lot of British people in it. It's like, I don't know. But then you play it and it really clicks. And mm-hmm. I don't know why I haven't picked up Dishonored 2 yet. I kind of made a call. Like, there's a lot of stuff coming out at that point. And fortunately and unfortunately, it looks like Dishonored 2 hasn't sold especially well, but is now being discounted for Black Friday. Not insanely discounted, but for those who are interested and want to go pick it up, I think it's like 30, well, in Canada it's $30 off. I don't know what it's like in the States, mm-hmm. but yeah.
Well, I think it's worth it, especially if you played Dishonored 1, then mm-hmm. I think you'll like Dishonored 2, and if you are new to the franchise like I am, it is still 100% enjoyable. They give you the basic story of Dishonored, they give you all the information that you need going into 2. I wasn't lost in terms of story at all. There's like a 2.5 to 3 minute cinematic at the beginning that basically gives you the story of 1, mm-hmm. so that it's like, previously on Dishonored. So it's it's really easy to just jump right into, and especially if you can get it at a discounted price, I think, you know, go for it. Okay. If you like stealth, if you do not like stealth, do not get this game.
What if I have a love-hate relationship with stealth? Like, I'm terrible at it.
Then you're probably going to be very much like me, and that you're going to be frustrated.
I love stealth when the game doesn't completely, when it gives you the tools to escape, you know, to get back into the shadows and, you know, just make your AI a little bit dumber. Like, there was a guy stabbing a dude over there, but that was 10 minutes ago. I'm going to go back to my normal pathing. You know, that's the kind of stealth I like. I don't like the stealth where the people are very, very smart, you know, like Splinter Cell. I find I could never really super enjoy that game, because if I ever got caught, they always trained their AI too well, because they would never go back. They would always be paranoid as soon as they caught you. So, it sounds, again, like these conversations we've been having over the last couple weeks, it sounds intriguing. It might be a game maybe I pick up over the holidays and play, because I know I want to play it eventually. Right now, I don't know if I have time to sink. Do you feel like it's a big game? Do you feel like it's going to be a game that's going to sort of take a lot of your time? Or do you feel like those chunks that you sit down to play it, are they like, are you getting stuff done? I guess is my question.
I think there's a lot of content in it. There's a lot of collectibles. There's a lot of things to see and experience. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of both. I feel like I'm getting a lot done and I'm finding a lot of things. And when I do actually get a bone shard, for example, it's usually really fulfilling. It's very satisfying. It's like, okay, I got to that location and I figured out how to get past, you know, the trap or the bad guy or the whatever. And I got this really rewarding thing.
Cool.
But at the same time, I feel like even though I'm accomplishing things, there's still so much more to the game. So, I mean, like, I'm maybe 30% of the way done through the second chapter in terms of, like, collectibles and stuff.
Right.
And I'm not actually 100% sure, because I got to a safe kind of save place yesterday and then stopped playing. So I haven't continued through with the story. So I don't know if I'm about to finish the story part of 2 and it's going to start a third chapter, or like with the way that the story's going right now, it could be either one. It could either be the second half of chapter 2 or it could be chapter 3, because it's like kind of a new location but not at the same time. So I don't really know how they're going to split it up, but I feel like I've gotten through the first part anyways of the new city that I just arrived in. So I feel like I'm accomplishing things, but there's still so much left there. And it's very satisfying because it's so frustrating when you actually do hit a milestone, it's very satisfying.
I think that's what I remember the most and cherish the most about the first one. That, and this is going to get kind of geeky and nerdy, but it's one of the only video games I can even think of that has a lock, like a boat lockage. It's, I've been working for Parks for way too long, but seriously, in that game, in the first game, you're in a lock and you're stealthed and they lock a boat up and you just freaking kill those guys. And it's just like, you shouldn't have.
You dork.
I know, exactly. And I'm like, man, I need a vacation. I think I might have actually been on vacation. I'm like, what is work doing in my video games? This is not cool. But no, and that's, I think, goes back to the old British timesy of it. Has that Britishness to it, I think. Mm-hmm. I may be remembering it wrong, but Michael Madsen was in the first one. Are there a lot of like good voice actors in it? Because I remember the first one having really stellar voice acting.
Yeah, I like all the voice acting so far. Cool. I haven't. The thing that I like the most about it is that I haven't recognized anyone yet. So I have no idea if they are, you know, well-known voice actors or not, but one way or another, I haven't recognized them. So because that always takes me out of it when I'm like, oh, where do I know that voice from? Or, oh my God, that's Illidan. Like, so, you know, even if Liam O'Brien, who is the voice of Illidan, even if he is in this game, I don't freaking know. Like so that's what I mean. Like even really well-known voice actor people who may or may not be in this game, I am not picking out their voices at all. So it's they've done a really good job. I'm enjoying it anyways. But
all right,
I want to hear about Watch Dogs 2, because that's the other kind of big AAA title we have to talk about this week. So why don't you tell us a little bit about this? Because when it came down to me getting Dishonored 2, it was literally between Dishonored 2 and Watch Dogs 2. So I'm glad that you picked up the other one, because I can almost live vicariously through you.
and I will say that Watch Dogs 2 is a fantastic game and a stellar improvement over the first one. I don't know if you played the first one.
I did not, because it didn't get very favorable reviews. Yeah.
And the thing for the first one that I didn't like was really just the tone of it. You know, everything was all Big Brother, hack the system. In me describing it, I'm not even doing it justice, because it's more like Big Brother, hack the system. They're watching you. It was just very dark and very like taking itself super seriously, even though you were using your phone to control lights, shock people, make explosions. So like the tone didn't...
Wait, you didn't get the shock people app? Come on, Ryan. What? You're so 5 years ago. Everyone has the shock people app.
Yeah, it's don't tase me bro.app. Yeah. I know. But see, that was the issue with the first one. You just proved my point, in that the tone didn't match the silliness of you walking around with this phone that could just talk to everything and just make everything explode. Like literally every so often, every few blocks, you could make just the street explode and cause absolute mayhem. You could cause blackouts, and it just didn't match the tone, and the story equally didn't match the tone, matched the tone wonderfully, where it was just really dark and like your niece gets killed, and it's I don't know, it was a huge bummer, and I never really got into it because of that. The second one has all the same hacking stuff, plus a couple extra abilities where, you know, you're still hacking people's phones, you're doing the shocking, you're doing the explosions, you're hacking into cameras and sort of doing logic puzzles and stuff. But the tone matches that silliness of just being able to hack everything. So it's very... have you ever seen Hackers or another movie that's been referenced, like Sneakers? Sneakers? It's not... I think it is. I've never seen it. For some reason, I want to call it Snickers, but I know it's not Snickers. I think it's Sneakers.
I'm pretty sure it's not Snickers.
Yeah.
But even then, Sneakers, that's not what I would think that movie would be about.
Exactly. I may be remembering it wrong. But anyways, the tone of the game is now this very colorful, very satired, very humorous, not taking itself seriously at all, like we covered last week with the you could hack into Ubisoft and steal their trailer. And I did that mission, and specifically that mission is very, very well put together, where it's just a side operation. It takes 20 minutes to do, and it starts off as you're walking down the street and your main character Marcus ends up talking to another rando, and they're like, hey, I heard Ubisoft's got this new thing they want to announce. And then you start talking to your hacker buddies, and you're like, yo, I hear Ubisoft's had this great game. Like, oh, we got to hack into it. Gaming websites will pay top dollar for those leaks. And then it just goes from there, and you end up hacking the trailer. You get to see the trailer. It was really well put together. And at the end of it all, it's just very humorous in the way they go back and forth of, I think the one guy says something like, oh, internet, they'll say it's a really good trailer. Or no, is there actually a really bad trailer? It's an okay trailer. And it's just, I can't do it justice because it's humor and I'm not remembering it correctly, but I'm butchering it.
I like the Ryan attempts humor sections. These are the best parts of the show.
But it makes the game sound not funny. But I feel like that's the bonus of this game, is that the hacking was always fun in one, and when I talk to people who really enjoyed one, they enjoyed the hacking, they enjoyed the gameplay loop of, you know, getting mission, sneaking into mission. This is another game that's very stealth based. The difference between this and probably Dishonored 2 is that if you do get caught, you do have an arsenal to sort of shoot your way out of it, or even hack your way out of it. Or you can just run around and like I said, the AI is very dumb. If you just hide in a corner, everyone will be like, well, we'll call in reinforcements, but we're probably not going to care much more than we did maybe 15 minutes ago when two of our dudes just got exploded by a gas leak that just mysteriously happened. And I don't know. I've and that's sort of the gameplay loop where I'll go to a mission, and as I'm still getting used to the hacking stuff, I'm failing and I'm getting caught in these gunfights. And the gunfights don't feel bad because it's a third-person shooter. It controls a lot like Grand Theft Auto, and the shooting feels competent. But then as you keep moving on in the game and get more and more of an arsenal and just get used to your hacking controls, you hack your way through these submissions, and basically no one finds you because you're just going in and using your yo-yo. That's right. You use a yo-yo as a weapon.
Really?
Yeah. So okay. I don't know if it's a yo-yo, but he sort of controls it like a yo-yo. So it's a long string and then a heavy like object on the end, and he just swings it around and just like freaking cranks people across the head with it. It's really dark. But because the game is sort of humorous, it's like, that's funny. But it really isn't. And you just kind of sneak through, and you, again, you choke them out, and you can't move bodies, but you just kind of leave them there and hope for the best. But I've moved through missions and just sort of hacked my way through and had fun with it. And there's a lot of like little puzzles where you get to control you have an RC car, and you can get a drone eventually as well. And you can hide in a corner, and you're just a dude. You sit down, you have your laptop, and that's what you see. And then you take control of this RC car, and you can go through the level. And that's another version of stealth where the guys won't really chase the drone down. They'll just try to shoot it and kind of get mildly annoyed at it. They won't like call the police, but you can use that RC car to sort of navigate through the level. And sometimes that's the only way to actually hack your way into a building, because you actually take the RC car through vents. Yeah, it's really cool.
That's really funny, because apparently, because it showed up on a tooltip for Dishonored 2, I can, like, possess the minds of rats and then do that exact same thing.
Right. So that sounds gross.
Take something tiny and make it run through an area, apparently. I haven't actually done it yet. I don't think I have that power, but yeah. I don't know how I get that power, but it's a thing, because that's what it says, like, in order to get past obstacle X, you could do one of these four things. And it's basically like shoot your way through, or stealth your way, or try going through this something infested building, or possess a rat. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun to do that. The sort of the RC, it's just, it's a different piece of gameplay, and it feels really good to kind of just shoot around with this RC car. And it's just a different way of playing from just a dude running around. And
you know, it's also pretty funny too. I bet that, like, if, for instance, you were hacking into a company like Google,
sure,
if they saw an RC car running around their Google headquarters, they probably wouldn't think anything of it, because they're just like that kind of a workplace that's, you know, cool and, you know, forward thinking. And we don't have cubicles, we have like open spaces and like stuff like that. And I feel like they'd just be like, oh yeah, that's, you know, Joey down the hall with his RC car, that's no big deal. Meanwhile, you're like, ha ha ha.
Well, it's funny you actually mentioned that because, like I said, it's a satirical game. So the Google in the game is called Nooble. And there's a there's a mission where you have to, like, sneak into Nooble, climb up to this top of this, like, little balcony and hack a terminal or something. Mm-hmm. A lot of the side operations I find are just, like, figure out how to climb to this level of a building and then hack this thing, and then you'll get to control a camera and mess with someone. But at the end of that mission, you get to slide down a slide. Like, it's really cool. Like, it's just a slide in the middle of an office, and it's like, yeah, Google probably has, like, a slide.
Yeah, Google probably has a slide. Yeah, that makes sense.
But there's a lot of the side missions, like I said, are sort of, it feels like, I don't know how to put it, but it's like exposing people. So a mission I just did before the show was you have to hack into this person's apartment, and he, and this is going to sound terrible, but they call him a pervert, so that's all I'll say. He is a pervert, and you're basically hacking into his system to expose the fact that he is illegally selling video, and you basically, you mess with him by interrupting the call he's on, changing music that's playing, erasing his data drive, installing a virus, and basically just exposing him as this terrible person that he is. To another mission where you discover that one of your friend's nieces is streaming her life 100% of the time, and she thinks she's 100% secure, and you basically get hired by your own friend to go over there and mess with her, and basically messing with her amounts to turning the light on and off and changing her music from pop to, like, death metal, and just basically going back and forth until she freaks out. So the game doesn't take itself seriously, and honestly, that's the best part about it, because I don't know about you, but when was the last time you played a game that just didn't take itself seriously? Just, you know, and I know, actually,
like, fully, totally, really didn't was probably, like, Fable.
Yeah, exactly. Like, even Warcraft takes itself seriously to a certain, like, at points, at many points these days. And Hearthstone, I mean, Hearthstone, I could probably say, I mean, it takes itself pretty seriously. Like, it's, there are, even the modes take itself, I don't know, it's hard to explain, but I feel like Hearthstone is kind of in that realm of Warcraft where it's half and half. But yeah, Fable is a good point, but yeah, Watch Dogs 2, that, I think that's the best part, is the hacking combined with the satisfaction of being in a high-speed chase and then just, like, hitting the L1 button to hack people in front of you to make them, like, swerve out of the way so you can control cars and stuff.
Oh, that's cool. That's also very topical, because I know our roommates just bought a new car, and the car that they bought actually will, like, slow down and brake based on the car in front of it, and will, if you're going over a certain speed, it will, you know, like, keep you in a lane on a highway and stuff. And so, I mean, like, hackable cars are, like, that's not a huge reach for sure.
No, my favorite, and again, it's gonna sound morbid, but my favorite moment in the game was I was outside of a parking garage, and I had actually charged in because I had to hack this little thing. I charged in and I got overwhelmed and killed by the security. So this time, rather than charging in, I waited outside of the garage door, hacked into the camera system, and used the camera system to control the cars in the garage. And basically, just when you hit the backup button on the car, it doesn't just, like, back up. It, like, just goes. So, like, I backed up it. Floors it, and I backed up, like, three cars, killing two guards, and then I saw there was a gas main, and I'm like, oh, this should be good. And when I hit the gas main, it exploded all the cars, so it was just everybody exploded. So you're, like, not necessarily a good hacker. Sometimes you feel like you're a good hacker, but then other times you feel like, I just killed.
Other times you explode an entire garage and you feel like you might be a little bit of a bad guy.
That's the thing. And maybe that's the only downside to the tone of this game. You are never made out to be the bad person. And so far I haven't come across the quote-unquote bad person. I think they're setting someone up in between finishing main missions. They'll show this dude who does the yoga and constantly wears sweatpants. I think he's the bad guy. I don't quite know. So I'm just having so much damn fun with that game. It's really good, and I can see how the first one may have put a bad taste in people's mouths, but This one is
worth it. Is it worth it full price, or should people watch out for sales?
I got it. I will say I got it on a sale. So I purchased it. I pre-ordered it during E3 and basically got it for $50. I think you could find this game on sale. And yeah, I think it's a big open world game. So paying full price wouldn't be a big deal to me. But it, mm-hmm. I mean, why would you? Don't wait a week. Just go out and buy it. You'll probably find it on sale on Black Friday. It's totally worth picking up. But if you have to wait, even at full price, I think it's really worth it. And it's a big game. It's an open world game, so there's lots to do. So, yeah, I'd say pick it up.
Very, very cool. So I've got a couple of things that I played that are in still alpha, beta type stuff. I think you're part of this alpha beta. I can't remember which one it is as well. You've got access to Gwent, right?
I do. I have not booted it up. It looks a lot farther along than some other alpha games in that nature, but I have not played it yet. Is it good?
Okay, so I will say, because I played, so obviously I play a whole heck of a lot of Hearthstone. Mm-hmm. I have now also dabbled in Smite Tactics, and I have also now dabbled in Gwent. And I will never, ever, ever be short-tempered with anyone new to Hearthstone who doesn't understand what they're doing ever again. not that I was ever too bad in the first place.
No.
But I don't know why I caught on to Hearthstone fairly quickly, but Gwent, holy hell. I will say, like, probably I think the biggest thing that Gwent is missing right now, and again, it's alpha beta something, so it's definitely not released, it's not ready, it's not done, but some kind of a tooltip would be so helpful, because I don't remember, like, I don't know any of the cards, I don't know what's going on. So then, you know, like even hovering over things sometimes doesn't show you the whole card or like all the stuff about the card. So I'm just kind of like, do I play this one now? Is this the type of card that's going to, you know, synergize with the other types of cards? But that being said, it is totally different than Hearthstone. I love the different aspects of Gwent. So basically, it's a best 2 out of 3. Every match is the best 2 out of 3. And you draw cards, and then that's like your card pool. And this was the thing that I didn't quite understand, because in Hearthstone, obviously, you keep drawing cards. And in Gwent, you don't really. You, like, get your card pool, and then, like, when the round is over, then you get 2 cards. And then when the next round is over, you get 1 card. But you don't, like, you're not constantly filling up your deck. And so it's the best 2 out of 3. And you basically have to decide when you think your board is strong enough, and you have to balance that against what cards you still have available to yourself. Mm-hmm. Then you essentially pass, and then the other person can play as many cards as they want. So you're kind of like, it's a game of like double level, like dual layer strategy. It's what's going on the board, but then also like, okay, if I'm going, do I think I can win round one? And if I can't, you know, should I just pass? And then, you know, he's got no cards left, so I'm just going to win 2 and 3. And yeah, so there's like, you have to read your opponent as well as reading your game board, and your resources extend across all 3 matches. So it's really interesting for sure. I'm enjoying it a lot, but holy hell, is it hard? Oh my God.
Right, so Hachikumo in the chat room saying the one thing that disappointed him about the beta was just the newcomer experience. So I feel like that's going to be a big hurdle for me. As someone who's terrible at deck building games and has little patience when it comes to getting my foot in the door when it comes to any game, for that matter. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's good to know going into Gwent that I should at least anticipate that experience. But I played a lot of Gwent in Witcher 3. Do you feel like it's not the same game, but is it? I mean, I don't know if you played any Gwent, but
it's still similar. I did play some of it because that was one of the things that people said, like, you have to do Witcher 3 because there's a card game in it. And I know you love card games, so make sure that you go and play Gwent. So I did play some of it and I really enjoyed it. But again, in there, you're playing against AI. So I played a little bit against AI, and then I played against a couple of people, and I think I I think I won against two people and I lost against two people. But it's really, really, really challenging. It's really difficult. There is a really cool system, at least right now, where when you finish a match, you can actually say, like, there's a big button that says, like, tell your opponent good game. And then so if both of you do it, mm-hmm. then it pops up with like GG on your screen and it gives you extra like bonus resources. So it's kind of a cool mechanic in that way, because it's the same as Hearthstone. Like, you can't talk to your opponent or anything. But yeah, it's complicated. And I find the text, it's probably a lot closer to, say, Magic than Hearthstone. Oh. Hearthstone is very simplified. It's, you know, like they've got 10 words or less on a card sort of thing. Gwent is not like that. Gwent is really complicated. And so it can be difficult to remember who does what and when in terms of card abilities and stuff. And because the cards, I mean, some of them are simple. Some of them are just like no card text. It's, you know, it's an 8 health dude, you know, or 8 power dude, and that's it. But some of them are, you know, like impact and happen when other things happen. And, you know, it's a card game, right? Like, and there's a lot of that in Hearthstone now too. But I found even just like looking at the collection and trying to build a deck in Gwent, I was just like, I have no sweet clue what is a good card and what is a bad card. And I don't know how to evaluate them. And yeah, so, and I mean, again, I could go look it all up, but like Hachikumo said, they definitely do not have a good newcomer experience. There's no real solid tutorial. There is a bit of a tutorial, but it's like, for instance, I think there was like a deck building tutorial, and it was like, here's where you build decks. These are your cards. Good luck. I'm like, okay. Like, that doesn't really help me at all.
Oh, dear.
And I think that's where Hearthstone really kind of shines, mm-hmm. is its new player experience. They focus on it a lot. They try to keep things simple. You know, you get cards as you rank up and like as you level up your classes, and you know, the tutorial itself is you know, introduces one mechanic at a time. The Gwent tutorial was okay. I mean, I understood that there were, you know, melee people, ranged people, and siege people, which are like super ranged. And, you know, you could apply weather effects to those rows. Mm-hmm. And you have to have a higher power on your side than the opponent has on their side. And if you do, that means you win. And then, you know, the passing of rounds and stuff and best 2 out of 3. I understood all of that. But then they don't explain any of your card mechanics to you whatsoever. They don't tell you about, like, you know, different tribes of cards, or, you know, like damaging things and buffing things and all the different like heroes and types of play and all this kind of stuff. So I found it confusing, and that's coming from someone who's a pretty competitive Hearthstone player. So if card games are not your thing, I feel like if you're really into Magic, you'll probably really like this. Mm-hmm. But I found it quite confusing just to jump right in. I can see how it's super cool though, and I like the mechanics and the trying to read your opponent and trying to figure out when to end the round and when not to, and you know, all that kind of stuff. So I think that Gwent is something I could get into, but there is going to be a very, very, very steep learning curve.
Yeah. I don't know why there's construction going on in here, but
I was like, what's going on over there?
There's a baby sleeping. Come on. Anyways, or maybe he's not sleeping. I don't know. Anyways, yeah, no, I've been interested in trying Gwent. As someone who enjoyed The Witcher 3's version of Gwent, but I felt as though Gwent in The Witcher 3, you were playing AI, so I just loaded my deck with really strong characters and just mopped the floor with people. So now, are you playing against AI or are you playing against real people?
I did both.
Okay.
I did both. So, and I mean, I beat the AI and I went about 50% against real people. I didn't get to play too much because, again, like I spent a lot of time like reading the collection and trying to figure out the best way to get better, basically. And it's still, like I said, it's going to be a really, really steep learning curve. But yeah, so I did play against both. Cool. And it's cool. It's interesting. And it's a game I can see myself getting into. But yeah, maybe. Yeah, it's just it's steep learning curve. But the other one that I tried this week, Smite Tactics, I think we're going to talk about a little bit more in our patron hangout, because I think Jim, who calls into pretty much every patron hangout, has been playing a lot more than I have. But Smite Tactics is so much fun.
Yeah.
It's like combination of a Hearthstone deck building kind of a thing, where every turn you have a certain amount of mana and you have a hand of cards and you can play them. But then when you play your cards, they're actual like 3D minions and you kind of move around like XCOM.
Yeah.
So it's really, really cool. It's basically Smite meets Hearthstone meets XCOM. And I had a lot of fun. I only got a couple of games in today right before the show, but I'm looking forward to talking to Jim about it later.
Yeah.
But Smite Tactics was super, super fun. And it might be because I'm familiar with Smite already, or maybe they've just done such a good job with the kind of simplification of things. But I found it really easy to just jump into and get going. I mean, I got my ass kicked by the AI in the first game. And then in the second game, I was like, oh, right, I can actually move around. I don't have to leave my characters like on my side of the field or anything. Mm-hmm. And then once I realized that, I was just like, oh, okay. That makes sense. And then I totally wiped the floor with the AI. So it's really neat, though. I like it a lot. And I'm looking forward to talking to Jim about it. Mm-hmm. Do you want to tell us, do you still have Crying Baby in the background? Or
no, we're good. I don't know whether, I will, full disclosure, I don't know whether it was me yelling or the hammering. Let's say a little from Colin. Let's blame the hammering. A little from, yeah, well, yeah. anyways, what, we were going to talk about, what did you say, Batman?
Batman.
Yeah. Batman, the first episode is free on pretty much every platform now, and I, on this show, very, very proudly and loudly said that I would not play another Telltale game until they fixed their shit.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah. And I was like, you know what? Let's dip the toe in, see how things are going. I actually started playing episode one, I mean, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, in which I was like, hell no, this is not working, because I went to play with an Xbox One controller and the R trigger refused to work. When I looked into it, it turns out it's a known bug and Telltale could give two shits about fixing it. So I was like, all right, fine. I'm not going to play your game. I'm just going to walk away. I could take over with the keyboard for like 5 seconds and move on, but no.
That's not the point, though.
Exactly. That's not the point. So fast forward a couple weeks, I come back to it, and it's like, all right, fine, I'll use the keyboard for 2 seconds. Actually, no, I downloaded it on Xbox because I was like, I really want to play this with a controller. So I downloaded it for free on Xbox One. The game ran like crap. I thought it was a stylizing thing where there wasn't sound because maybe the helicopter was like... Yeah, you're going to think I'm... Well, you already think I'm crazy. But you're going to think I'm crazier because there was a helicopter in the scene and then it was like going slow motion. So then when you were like hitting the characters, there was no like punching sounds. And I was like, maybe it's a stylized thing where, you know, I'm supposed to be like the helicopter and I'm Batman and I'm zoned in on punching Catwoman, which was a weird thing. And no, this... very bad port of a PC game, or a very bad, just a bad Telltale engine. So wow. I was like, all right, I can't, I'm
so
not going
to. So you're actually officially done.
No, I played it on PC right after that, and I beat the first episode.
Oh my God, Ryan.
I know. I wanted to get through it and experience it. And after finishing it and a couple times having to switch to the keyboard, I don't know, like, it's another Telltale game. It does the Telltale thing. It's got Batman. My biggest credit I can give it is that the fight scenes felt really cool. It was more like a choreographed scene where you're sort of building up a Batman meter by hitting the proper buttons. And then when you get that Batman meter, that was usually when I had to switch to the keyboard to actually cue in the Batman move or whatever. So that was really neat. The story of Batman, what they're telling in this game, feels like something they haven't told, at least in the Batman I've experienced, which is basically the video games and the movies. So that's really cool and very refreshing, because oftentimes that was my biggest complaint about Game of Thrones, is that they were basically telling the same story with different characters. This is your same favorite characters, different story.
That's nice.
So that's a real big bonus for this episode. So I would say that for those folks who like Batman and have liked Telltale games in the past, episode one is free. Give it a shot. Maybe play with your keyboard so you don't have that frustrating thing. Or play with a 360 controller. That was one of their fixes. Play with a 360 controller. Okay, I'm going to dig up my previous generation of consoles when I have two Xbox One controllers sitting here.
Well, and this has been the problem that we have had with every Telltale game since the original Walking Dead, is just that even Wolf Among Us, which we both really enjoyed, it's just the engine is absolute shit and they will not upgrade it. They have not made any changes. And every time they get the license for a new franchise, we're always like, maybe this is the one. Like, this time it's DC, this time it's Disney, now it's, you know, these big huge names that are behind Telltale, maybe they'll get the funding to actually update their engine, and they never ever do. So I haven't actually touched a Telltale game since I think Wolf Among Us. Because I did play through the first and possibly second episode of Game of Thrones, just because I was like, yay, Game of Thrones, and we were doing it for the show. But even then, we never finished our Game of Thrones coverage because the engine was so terrible. It was so hard to play.
And I'm a completionist, and usually I'm the one to drag Jocelyn kicking and screaming through something that, no, we started it, we got to finish it, or else I'll my head will explode. We got to do it. And even then, I was like, you know what? Let's call it. I'm not even going to play the third episode, because I can't remember, like, the first one ends with one of the characters just getting stabbed in the throat. It's like, oh, it's Game of Thrones. And then I can't remember the second one. I think maybe that weird guy comes in and says some weird things and upsets everybody. But no,
that's basically Game of Thrones.
That's basically, yeah.
The weird guy comes in, says some weird things and upsets everybody, and then there's a neck stabbing. That's Game of Thrones in a nutshell.
And credits. I feel like what they've done with Telltale's Batman, they've upgraded the engine. It feels like they've added things to the engine, but they haven't upgraded it. So there's some blurring effects. There's some motion blur. Motion blur is what they've added, basically. You'll notice it when a character's running, and it looks really good. And it's like, oh, that's something I've never seen in a Telltale game. That's really interesting. But you make a good point where you always get excited when they announce this new thing. And 1 year ago, nearly to the day, they showed a Batman trailer, and it's like, Telltale's making a Batman game. And I was like, sweet, that sounds great. Oh, but then I forgot about the engine issues. And we're going to have the same issue this year. They're saying that Telltale's going to announce a Guardians of the Galaxy game. And I love Guardians of the Galaxy. And
man,
it's like, yeah, exactly. You're like kind of excited and then really not so much. And Walking Dead returns on December 20th. Merry Christmas to me. But I don't know, who's to say it's going to have the same issues. And even the Batman game on Steam, it still has issues. And my computer... I mean, your computer, pretty much anybody's computer should be able to cream that game pretty hardcore, but I don't know, like, just doesn't, I don't know. It's really, really bad, but it's free. Check it out. And I've heard really good things about episodes 2, 3, and 4. So, and it's on sale as well. I think they have an autumn sale going on Steam, which is weird because it's winter here now. So
yeah, that is actually kind of weird. But there's another Steam sale?
Yeah, right now.
Oh, man. I haven't opened Steam in a couple of days, so I definitely haven't noticed, but...
I'm getting really bad at opening Steam these days. Poor Caden.
He's distracting you quite a bit, eh?
It's because I put him to bed. I feel like it's my fault that he's awake, because I'm... Anyways, not a video game conversation, I suppose.
Yep. So one last thing that I wanted to cover before we switch over to our patron hangout is the mobile game, which has been taking my Twitter feed anyways by storm. I don't know if you guys have heard of it, but it's called 16 Squares. So here's the little icon. I don't know if you can see it, but it's really simple looking. It's just a 16 in like a little purpley blue square. And so basically 16 squares is exactly what it sounds like, 16 squares. And then you have a number that pops up at the bottom. And then actually two numbers that pop up at the bottom. One is your current number that you have to deal with. And one is like the what's coming next preview window. And all you have to do is basically drag your numbers into the 16 squares. And you're trying to make the highest numbers that you possibly can. And the way that you do that is you put like, say, a one next to a one, and then they will pull together and create a two. And then the twos will come together to create a three. So you're almost like trying to stack your numbers and just keep going until you fill up all 16 squares. And then obviously your game is over and you're trying to get a high score. It sounds super duper simple, and it is, but it's so addictive. Oh my God. I've been playing this. I haven't had an addictive right before I go to bed game since Sailor Moon Drops, which I was also really into. But 16 Squares is my new hotness anyways, because man, is it so freaking fun. It's free. It's a little bit frustrating because it's free, because every time you finish a game, you have to watch two ads, and that's really annoying. And I wish I could just pay for it. But I mean, the alternative to that is just don't finish. Just be super awesome and stack all your numbers to infinity.
It's true. So there's no paid version. You just have to buy coins.
You don't even buy coins. You can just play over and over again. It's just you have ads in between your games. But that's the thing. It's not locked in any way like Sailor Moon was, where you got a certain number of plays that would stack up and you would get a new one every 30 minutes or something. Mm-hmm. It's very much just play as much as you want. It's just that there's ads in between each different session. So that can get a little bit frustrating. I wish I could just pay for it just to have it. But yeah. It reminds me a lot of Threes, actually. Same sort of a game, same sort of a concept, but it's really, really, really fun. So if you guys have been living under a rock and for some reason have not heard of 16 Squares, I urge you to go pick it up if you are on the go and looking for something that's just a little bit challenging, a little bit fun. It's really colorful. Each number has its own little color, so I like it because rainbows. But
I have not heard of it, so it's all over Twitter. Like
my Twitter feed for the last week has been really totally lit up with the 16 squares. Yeah,
huh. I've been
so many people playing it.
Yeah, I've been in and out. So I saw it. Yeah, so I when you mentioned it, I looked it up. So free to play. I have to check it out, right? Because there's really no excuse not to, right? So
you do. Yeah. You do. And like I said, it's really fun. I think, you know, obviously it just depends on how how far you get on each session. But I mean, it can be, you can, you know, walk away and come back to it. And it's a lot of fun. You can do it for 10 minutes or an hour. It's great. So I urge everybody to go and check that out. I also wanted to remind everybody to go to etch.amove.tv or shirts.amove.tv. for all your favorite shows on some swag. You can get yourself some t-shirts. You can get yourself some pint glasses, wine glasses. I actually have my Angry Chicken pint glass right here. It's dirty. Don't look at all my lipstick stains, but it is right here, obviously getting some use. So again, that is etch.amove.tv and shirts.amove.tv. You can get stuff from all your favorite shows like The Angry Chicken, The Gamers Inn, and Into the Nexus. So make sure you guys go and check that out, which is going to begin our patron hangout. And let me see. It looks like we do have Jimmy the Shovel waiting in the wings. So I'm going
very to patient.
Pull him into our live stream right now. It looks like he is muted on both his mic and his headphones, so he may not hear the sound of my voice right now. But as soon as you do, Jim, feel free to jump in. I think we're going to talk a little bit about Smite Tactics. So yeah. If you guys actually haven't heard about Smite Tactics, it's currently in alpha, and it is it's closed alpha, but you can sign up for either the alpha or the beta. I can't remember. On, I think it's just smitetactics.com. Mm-hmm. And like I mentioned earlier, it's basically a deck building game with kind of the stylings. Like it does, the cards remind me a lot of Hearthstone, the styling of Hearthstone, which makes it really easy for Hearthstone players to jump into. But then the actual gameplay is this combination of Hearthstone and XCOM. So you actually have a like characters that you move around a board, and it's not like one side versus the other. So you can do things in Smite Tactics. If you guys have ever watched us play Smite, it pulls from that same god pool. So for instance, and Ryan and I believe we played the same main hero god, which was the Egyptians. Yeah. So our main hero was Ra. And basically you die when your main hero is killed in battle. That's when you lose the match. So you have other supporting heroes. So for the Egyptians, I think my opening deck had Neith and Sobek in it.
Mm-hmm.
So very recognizable characters, great little 3D models. So it's not like Hearthstone's little 2D minions. It's actual literal 3D models that have all their animations and stuff. And
yeah,
it was really fun to play.
I think the heroes feel like they're pulled right out of Smite. Like they look like the exact same models.
I think they probably are.
Yeah, they pretty much are.
Hey.
Oh, Jim! Hello, hi, welcome to the show. Yeah, I'm so glad.
Even though the game is just, you know, this kind of almost board game looking thing, it actually probably has higher system requirements than Smite because it's in Unreal Engine 4.
Oh.
So in the deck collection, if you click on the different gods and kind of look at the models, you can definitely tell it's, you know, a little more high fidelity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm so glad that you're here to actually join us to talk about this, because I know you have played a whole lot more Smite Tactics than I have. Thank you so much for sending the code, by the way. Yeah. How long have you actually had access to the game?
I got it, the code, a week ago, just a couple hours after the game actually became available in alpha. I was just kind of, you know, haunting Twitter and was able to nab a code that somebody posted.
Oh, cool.
So I didn't actually have a chance to play it that night because it was already too late, and you really should not be starting a brand new game at the time you're supposed to be going to bed.
Especially,
I agree. We all know how that happens. So, but I did play it a lot the next day, and probably at least like 50 games, maybe, or more than that.
Nice. Oh, wow. So,
it's a very short game, so it's usually just like probably 5 to 7 minutes.
I thought maybe that was just me, because I was playing just against the AI, but I found that my games went to about turn like 6 or 7, and then that was pretty much the end of it. Is that by design, or is that because I'm playing AI, or, you know, like how many turns do your games normally go to?
I don't know if it's specifically by design or if they wanted them to go longer, but it's certainly the way the game is. It does tend to pretty often not go to, like, you know, 8, 9, 10 turns. I mean, you don't always actually kill your opponent, but it has a concede mechanic, and you can often tell, you know, oh, I am screwed. it doesn't have the same kind of like board wipe mechanics as in Hearthstone. You can't just, like, you know, draw flame strike and kill everything out there. So there's definitely more of a point of no return, which there might be too much of a point of no return at the moment. So that'll probably be something they kind of look at going forward, because mm-hmm. it's obviously very early alpha.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Afrohorsey in the chat room is saying it sounds kind of like Duelist. I never played Duelist, but I know a lot of my Hearthstone friends, when Duelist was first, I guess, came out, were really into it. And that was kind of like everyone thought that was going to swing some people away from Hearthstone. But obviously that didn't happen. But did you play Duelist? Is it similar?
I have never played Duelist or any of these type of tactic games. I think that, like, I mean, I have, at least when the game was announced, people were saying it looked like the same type of game as Duelist. I haven't actually looked into that to find out, but I know there's like Final Fantasy Tactics, which is not the same, but it's kind of this whole, like, you know, just type of, you know, turn-based board game thing, I guess.
Right.
I think Fire Emblem's a bit the same way as well.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be accurate, Ryan?
Yeah.
I mean, no cards, but...
Well, no, yeah. In terms of the actual combat, it's on a smaller scale of Fire Emblem, but it is the same idea where you're placing your units or not placing you, but you have your units on a grid system and there are obstacles in the way and you move a certain way, and some heroes can attack from range and some have to be up in their face. I felt like in the game the biggest pointer anyone can give you is to really try to push towards the enemy hero, because if you fall back too much you end up getting cornered, and that's how I lost most of my initial games, where I would move my hero back without moving minions forward and they would just rush me and then pin me in a corner, and then you actually can't summon minions if they get you in a specific type of corner. And I thought that was a really cool mechanic, and I am looking at screenshots of Duelists and like, yeah, there's a card mechanic, there's the grid mechanic, very very similar, but I'm sure it kind of looks a little more advanced in the way you place units and the way units are queued. But yeah.
Well, and for me at least, I think what's going to pull me into Smite Tactics where Duelist failed is the fact that I already have ties to Smite. I already know this universe. I know the heroes. I'm really excited about it. The same reason why I got into Hearthstone as opposed to something like Magic is because I was already invested in the Warcraft universe. So I think Smite Tactics, that's why it's so exciting for me, is that, you know, it's been so long since we played Smite. We did a little bit of it on the Extra Life stream, but other than that, we're not playing weekly like we used to. And I'm excited to get back into that universe because I feel like now I've fallen off so much that I there's been too many heroes released, and I'm way too far behind to kind of catch up in Smite. But I feel like I could kind of get in on the ground floor of Smite Tactics, and that's something that would get me back into the universe and be a little bit more manageable in terms of time and kind of mind intelligence investment.
But they need to do is have some way we can pay money to get Rob America as a skin.
Yes. Oh, my God. I'm sure skins for your cards will probably be a thing.
Yeah, I would assume so. Especially, you know, all the gods have, some of them have very iconic and popular skins. And, you know, why wouldn't you put that in the game? And, you know, just another way to monetize it.
Yes, you know, exactly.
Not another, you know, game, gameplay content thing that you have to pay for. But, you know, cosmetics. People like cosmetics.
Yeah. People love cosmetics. So Smite Tactics, is it going to be a free-to-play game? Yes. It looks like it. Yeah, okay. Because you can buy card packs, right?
Yes. You can you can only buy them with favor, you know, the in-game currency. There are, like, in the shop, it does have the options for buying with gems, but those aren't, well, you can technically buy with gems, but you can't actually buy gems, so you can't actually pay real money right now. I'm sure that'll be implemented sometime in the future, but right now, of course, the focus actually is getting people in. But you can earn packs pretty quickly, especially because they just up the rewards a little bit as well.
Oh, cool. I know, so Hachikumo in the chat room is talking about what's the new player experience like, and Smite Tactics is way further in the early stages of alpha than even Gwent is, for instance. And so there isn't too much of a new player kind of experience. And I found when I was playing and in combat, I would have, you know, same thing that I said about Gwent also applies to Smite Tactics. I would love to have some sort of a tooltip when I hover over stuff, because like I would choose a hero, like say Neith, and then she would have like two options and it's like press one to do this and press two to do that, but I had no idea what the icons meant. Found like I knew that, you know, for instance, Sobek had abilities that I was supposed to be able to use, including like his very iconic charge and throwback with his axe move that he does, and I was just like, I can't tell what button that is. Do I want one or two?
I had to look that up online to find out how to actually use abilities.
Oh yes. So,
did you watch the video like that's in the launcher?
No.
Oh. That is, I mean, there's not much of a tutorial, but that does give you the basics of just how things work.
I thought that the video was, I thought it was the trailer. So I was just like, oh, I don't need to watch this again.
No, it's the same dude, right?
It's not a full tutorial or anything. I'm sure they'll add more of that later. Mm-hmm. But it does give you, it gives you enough information to get in there. Just, it does fail to tell you that you use your abilities on gods by hitting two.
Okay.
But everything else, like, I learned everything else I really needed to get into the game there.
And that's the thing, like I said earlier, with Smite Tactics, it's much more on this kind of Hearthstone experience scale than, say, the Magic. Like, I would put, you know, Gwent and Magic up here in terms of complexity, and then, like, Smite Tactics and Hearthstone, same level and much lower. It was really easy to kind of wrap my head around. And outside of actually moving my character around, which is, you know, something that I learned after my first absolute crazy defeat, I was like, oh, hey, if I don't stand in one spot, this is actually going to be a lot easier. That must be where the tactics part comes in. So, yep. Moving your character around the playing field and stuff. Like, I learned how to build a deck and move my character around and play my cards out in, I think, 3 games against the AI. And a quick glance at the card collection. So yeah. I found, there's going to be a lot of stuff that they're going to have to do between now and actual release in terms of tooltips and extra help, because I found it difficult to figure out how exactly to put cards in my deck, because I was trying to put Ra in my deck because he looked like my legendary that I should be putting in my deck. And I couldn't get him to go, and it's because you just automatically, when you pick a faction, basically, so there's Egyptian, there's Norse, there's, I can't remember, those were the two Greek. That stuck out in my head. Pardon me?
Greek.
Oh, Greek, right, with Zeus. You get that leader regardless of what other cards you put, so you get, like, a leader character, and then your 20 cards that go in your deck. So I was trying to put my leader in my deck, and it wouldn't let me, and I was just like, I would have... you know, a pop-up saying like, oh, he's your leader, you automatically get him or something would have been really helpful. So there's a lot of helpful tips and tricks that aren't present right now, but again, early alpha, so I'm sure all of that stuff is on the to-do list.
Yeah, I'm sure by the time they actually, you know, start calling it beta, most of that stuff will be in the game. Because, mm-hmm. you know, that's how beta usually is. It's like, you know, there's no game-breaking bugs. Most of, like, the basic features of the game are in there, mm-hmm. but alpha is just sort of like, who the hell knows what might happen.
Well, yeah, the core mechanics are there.
Yeah, they've already done 2 patches, though, to fix a bunch of the worst bugs and also to balance some stuff, because Ra was originally just OP as shit, and Odin was terrible. But now, I think Zeus is definitely the strongest.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what Ryan was saying, that he was going up against all Zeus all the time when he went to play against actual people.
Yeah, a lot of people playing as Zeus... they're very good at cornering you as Ra, and they just basically let the minions do the work, and it's
the gods that are available are just, they're all so good for Greek. Well, the Egyptian and Norse, some of them are okay. Bastet's pretty good.
Ooh,
she can actually assist with that whole trapping you in a corner thing, because her ability is to summon 3/1/1 cats with charge.
Oh, nice.
So if she doesn't have to attack, she can just, you know, just stick cats all around you, and then you're screwed.
I mean, that's got to be my favorite thing about this game, and why I'm really looking forward to once they add more to it, is that the card side of it is one like half of the game. The tactics part is where I'm really interested in it, because I want to see what they add as more decks come in and what they're doing. And it doesn't feel like, oh, another card battler, because it's really not. The cards are involved, but it's a different type of gameplay. So you can have your Hearthstone and your Smite Tactics alongside each other, and they feel like different games. So that's why I'm really excited.
Yeah, I had something to say, but now I've forgotten.
Oh, sorry.
I'm sure it wasn't anything important. Well, I'm sure it was something relevant, but...
It was relevant and probably important. I just, I sucked it at you. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say that they've already confirmed that there will eventually be more than one leader for each pantheon.
Oh, cool.
So it's not all, you don't always have to be, you know, Ra or Zeus. You might be able to play, Isis or who else? I mean, they certainly are obviously going to, like, the obvious leaders of pantheon, so as far as, like, mythology goes. So I don't know what they'll choose for the other ones, but they've already confirmed that. I mean, you can actually see in the card collection that there's an icon up top for the Chinese pantheon.
Ooh. That was going to be my next question. Yeah.
Nuwa is going to be the leader of that.
Oh, yay. I love Nuwa.
Yeah. So
Space Nuwa.
I think they said that they've got about half the cards, or they did at the, you know, a week ago, they had about half the cards made already. So I assume that eventually there will be, you know, every single pantheon from Smite, including apparently Celtic, which we're getting next year.
Nice.
Oh, cool.
But yeah, so
I need to get back into Smite proper.
Let's play Smite sometime.
Smite Prime.
Yeah.
But yeah, so obviously there's going to be tons of stuff coming, more cards for every Pantheon. Yeah, really looking forward to, you know, it's like right now it is a lot of fun. I'm really enjoying it, despite, you know, the general lack of content and the fact that now everybody's playing Zeus after the balance changes. Though I still win because I think my deck is better. And I'm sure there's a lot of, I mean, obviously an early alpha and even like a closed beta, there's just no matchmaking. You hit queue, yeah, you get matched up with whoever is also in the queue, mm-hmm, which is actually, you know, nice because you're just, you know, it's almost insta queues every time. But I mean, yeah, certainly, I'm sure there's a lot of people that good. I'm sure there's a lot of people that just got a code a day or two ago that are now jumping in, and I'm getting matched up against.
Right.
So, Jim's just farming noobs. That's great.
I guess so.
Oh, your username isn't like Kraken Puncher 77, is it? Like, because
I'll give you one guess of what my username is.
Mine's just Josh. Joss, not just Josh.
You stole Josh's name? What the hell?
That's just mean. Imagine you throw a 22 at the end.
Like, oh, Josh gets in. Like, oh, I'll be just Josh 22. Name taken.
Oh, I got Ryan, so I'm like,
phew. Yeah, I got Joss.
Yeah.
Not Josh.
Yeah, I'm hoping that soon we'll be able to do like custom games or have, you know, some sort of social feature to play against each other. And because right now you can do the queue at the same time and hope you get matched up, but that's pretty unreliable.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be cool, especially, you know, you get, you know, friends with codes and you can, you know, it's because AI is AI, you know how shitty the innkeeper is in Hearthstone.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Is there, so did, sorry, did they actually give an ETA on when they were going to be putting friends lists into the game?
Nope.
Or is that just like a things we want?
Yeah, it's things that, you know, obviously will be in the game eventually, but who knows when.
Yeah.
Probably, I would assume that by the time they go into closed beta.
I was going to say, yeah, probably beta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. All right. Well, I think we don't actually have anyone else waiting for us in the patron hangout tonight, so I think we might call it because we're now coming up on an hour and a half for this episode. So
yeah.
I know a lot of people are going to be, going to be questioning why the heck their gamers in is almost half as long again as normal. But Jim, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for sending. Did you send Ryan a code too? Or
he did. Yeah, he's super awesome.
I got an invitation email and it had, you know, a code for me and a code for a friend. But I obviously already had them.
Oh,
I was
nice.
In there, so I keep doing any of the like raffle type giveaways on Twitter. I always enter them to try to get more keys for other people, but no luck so far.
Spreading the love. Well, thanks, thank you, man, so much for sending us codes and allowing us to get in, because I know I've been missing the Smite universe, and I'm so glad to see them doing something else with these characters that I've spent so much time on. Ryan, we and Jim, we gotta get in and do some Smite sometime soon. But until then, pardon me?
You know where to find me.
Yeah. Until then, I just want to take a quick second and remind everyone that Extra Life donations are actually still open until December 31st. So if you would like to support us, go to bit.ly/TGI2016. That is TGI, all capital letters. Make sure that you choose a person to donate to. We would really, really appreciate it. It goes to a great cause. You guys can check out the archives of our 24-hour stream at twitch.tv/JossPlays. We had a lot of fun that day, and it's for a great cause. It's for the Children's Miracle Network of Hospitals. If you are... I know this is probably the wrong time of year for, you know, take all your extra money and throw it into a charity, but hopefully it is also a charitable time of year. And if you guys are looking for a worthy cause, please do help us out and donate to the Children's Miracle Network of Hospitals through our Extra Life campaign. Again, that is TGI 2016. Also wanted to say thank you to our patrons. Thank you guys so much for supporting us. We wouldn't have had the Smite Tactics patron hangout section of this show if you hadn't. Again, that is patreon.com/thegamersin. Thank you guys so much for your support. Also, your support from the month of October is going straight into our Extra Life campaign, which is going to bring us very, very close to our goal. So thank you all for supporting us, for supporting the show, and for supporting Extra Life. We really, really, really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Again, happy Thanksgiving to all of our American listeners. Thank you guys in the chat room so much for hanging out with us tonight. We really, really appreciate it. We really, really, very, very, I apparently am just repeating the crap out of myself tonight, but we do appreciate you guys spending your Thanksgiving evening with us. That is going to do it for us tonight. You can visit us on the web at gamersinpodcast.com. You can find us on AMOVE TV along with other fabulous podcasts, including The Angry Nerd, Into the Nexus, Overwatchers, The Angry Chicken, For Azeroth, Embrace the Spoilers, and a whole bunch of other super fun nerdy crap, so go check it out. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at JossPlays. Ryan is at RMurphy. And don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/AMOVETV. You can also find us on Facebook and Google+. If you'd like to email the show and let us know what you think about Dishonored 2, Watch Dogs 2, or any of the alphas and betas that we talked about tonight, please do so at info@gamersinpodcast.com. Thanks for staying at The Gamers Inn. And remember, tune in next week. Bye, guys.
Bye, everyone.